I want to start by answering a question that some of you may have in your mind, but may not have voiced out at some point. What is the aim of this thing? Why must I come to church? Why must I be a serious Christian? Why must I take what they are saying serious? What's the point? I want you to know that we are not here to waste your time. We are not doing all of this just because of selfish ambition or to waste your time. Are you with me? You know, yesterday we were setting up till very late in the night. And after the service, we'll pull all of this down. What's the point? Why are we stretching ourselves to reach people? Is it because we just want to build a great church? That's not enough motivation. Are you hearing me? It's not enough. And for me to answer that question, I would read the story of the apostles of Jesus. A very interesting story in Acts chapter 5. And so, let me read from verse 16. It says, there came also a multitude out of the cities around about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they healed everyone. Then the high priest rose up, and all day with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled in indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So the apostles were preaching about Jesus, and at some point, the leaders in Israel, the religious leaders in Israel, arrested them and put them in prison, what they call the common prison. And the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, verse 20, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. The reason why we are doing what we are doing is to make you experience the life of God. Listen, you know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, God speaking to Adam and Eve, before he made Adam and Eve, he says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Now, what exactly is God's image and likeness? Are you following me? Are you following me? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1, it says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers, hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So he's saying that Jesus is the express image of God. So when he says, let us make man in our image and our likeness, what does it mean? It means let us bring men into the life of Christ. Are you following this? Did you get what I just said? Or should I come again? God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So let man look like us and let him function like us. But how? What exactly is God's image and God's likeness? We see it in Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 3. Jesus Christ, who is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So every time you come to church, it's not just to attend a service to just hear one or two things. It is to bring you into a deeper experience of the life of Christ. Are you with me? That's the point. And let me tell you, it is everything important. In fact, I dare say it's the most important thing in your life. I know some of you may be hearing my voice and saying, Pastor, how does this relate to the crisis I'm going through? How does it relate to the fact that I don't have money in my pocket? How does it relate to the fact that I'm looking for a place to stay? Oh, it relates. Yes. You know, the Bible says, if he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Let me tell you something. If God can address your spirit man, your soul, which is more difficult to address, how much more the things in your life? Once upon a time, Peter met Jesus, and Jesus said, I want to use your boat to preach. And Jesus stood on Peter's boat and preached. And Jesus was going, and Peter said to Jesus, Master, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Jesus said, still carry your net and put into the deep. Let me tell you the problem. Many people are waiting for their lives to be perfect first before they pay attention to God. That's not how it works. No, that's not how it works. God wants you to seek him first. He has a plan for your life. And I'm telling you, Even the plan you think you have for yourself, when, by the time you extray his own plan, you will discover that his own plan is far bigger than your own plan. And so Peter let down his net into the water and caught a great he caught so much fish, his boat began to sink. He had to call on his friends, their boat began to sink. And Peter said, "Jesus, depart from me, I'm a sinful man." And Jesus said unto him, "You will begin to catch men. I know you are struggling for fish. I know you are struggling for survival, but I have plans for destiny for you." Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, you know, I read a verse of the Bible when I got born again many years ago, and that verse hits me very well. John chapter 1, from verse 1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God." Then he says, let's just read it. Verse 7 is where I'm going to, but let's read it. He says in from verse 7, he's talking about John. He said, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." Now he's talking about Jesus. That Jesus is the light that John came to bear witness of. Are you with me? Are you with me? He says in verse 9, "That was the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world." Now, that verse got me strongly, because in physics, there's something called true light. Now, physics will tell you that the real color of a thing is what it shows under white light or true light. Are you with me?
Yes,
they can, you can look at something and call it black, but when you put it under white light, the real color of that thing will come out. So when I read this verse, that was the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. It doesn't matter what you think you are. Until you come under the light of Christ, you don't know yourself. Are you with me? There is more to your life. And God wants you. Oh my God. You know, remember Peter. After he met Jesus. And Jesus was like, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "That was the Christ, Son of the living God." And Jesus got away and said, "That was Peter." It means the more you know him, the more you know yourself. It doesn't matter what you think you are. See, by the time you encounter him, by the time you soak into him, the greatness of his glory will begin to come out. I'm telling you. You don't want to get to heaven and find out that there was more to your life than what you are experiencing. That's why we are taking this thing serious. You know, there are different layers of this thing. There is the first layer of salvation. Are you with me? So we preach for people to be saved. To be saved from the cruelty of sin. And after that level, there is another level of, after being saved, you must experience the life of God. Praise the Lord. The life of God. On this earth, God wants you to experience his life on this earth. Look at what the angel said unto them. "Go stand and speak all the words of this life." Praise the Lord. Say, "I'm not here to waste my time." We're not doing ministry for the sake of just, oh, let's have something big or fame and name and all of that. God wants a people. You know, you read the Old Testament and see the way God talks. Once upon a time, I preached that here before, although that was in Port Harcourt Church, but Abuja streamed. When I was talking about faith, and God was trying to get people to believe in him, because they went to the promised land and saw giants in the promised land. And God was trying to get them to believe in him. And the people were complaining and murmuring and all of that. And God said, "These people, how long will it take for them to believe me?" And what did God do? God told Moses, "You know what? Tell them I am tired. I want to wipe all of them away and I will start a new nation with you." And Moses pleaded with God and said, "Oh God, if you destroy these people, then we say you could not protect them. That's why you destroyed them." God said, "Okay, I agree." He said, "But I swear, I'm going to raise the people of my glory." What did God mean by that? He meant that he's going to raise a people who will believe in him so much, and he will show forth his glory through them. God wants to show forth his glory through your life. I'm telling you. But the only way that can happen is you must learn of him. You must learn of him. You must begin your journey with him. You must have a genuine walk with him. You must have a genuine experience with God. That's why we are every time we try to go back to the basics. Because let me tell you, we have raised a generation of people. Oh, we are living in a day where people are comfortable to get things from God, but they don't care about having a relationship with God. You must begin your journey with him. You know, Matthew chapter 11. This is not my sermon, no.
But I was just thinking in my spirit. People that come for this service, what do they think? When they come for a service and see us, we want to learn about in Christ, our inheritance. What crosses their mind? Can they even relate to what I'm talking about here? Maybe if I tell them how to handle crisis, are you with me? How to handle challenges of life, they'll be able to relate with that more. And of course, we preach that. But listen, there is an armory, there is an arsenal with which you use to handle crisis. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 11, let me just go through that. I'm sharing with you as the Lord is putting it in my spirit. Verse 28, it says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Say amen. Amen. Read that verse and rejoice. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It says, now look at this. After reading, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What's the next thing? Go to verse 29. Oh, so now he has told you, if you come unto me and you are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Then in verse 29, he tells you how to get the rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, there are many people who, they want the rest of God. They want to receive rest in God, but they are not willing to learn of him. He says, when you learn of him and take his yoke upon you, oh my God. He said, you will find rest for your souls. Then he says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is his yoke? Learn of me. Let me tell you something. In life, in this journey, you will carry two yokes. Yeah, either you carry the yoke of learning of him, or you carry the yoke of this life. All their life, they are bothered. My business, my money, my this, my that. I'm telling you, it never ends. It never ends. It does not come to an end. From the day you are born, you need to buy a diaper. You need to buy food for the child. You need to buy milk. You will go on like that. School fees, this one, that one, this one. I'm telling you, by the end of your journey, you ask yourself, what did I do with my life? Okay, I want to marry. You marry. You have children. We need money for marriage. We need money for our wedding. You get money for the wedding. Then you marry. We need money for our school fees. You go on like that for 25 years. What is the point of your life? When will your life begin to have substance? When will your life begin to have meaning? Praise the Lord. Say for me, I will learn of him. I will learn of him. Let me tell you, we are a structured ministry, but even if we spend the whole day praying, hey God, praying, reading the Bible, worshiping, praying, reading the Bible, we go out to evangelism, come back, it's not a waste. I'm telling you. Oh, I'm telling you. Remember I said, there are three levels. There is a level of being saved from the cruelty of sin, to the level of experiencing the life of God, to the level of having eternity at heart. That's the next phase. Or that's the final phase. So after you experience the glory of God on the earth, what is your plan for eternity? Because there's an afterlife. What's your plan for eternity? What do you have with God in eternity? When you die and stand before God, do you have what the Bible calls treasures in heaven? So eventually, Christianity actually is to give your life meaning. To give your life a meaning. To give your existence a meaning. You know, I was talking to a woman, 55 thereabouts. She was a single mother. Her husband, her and her husband had marital issues about 25, 26 years ago. And they separated, went both ways. Now her children have all grown up and they've gone. One is in Europe. One is in America, and she's alone in the big house. She told me, my life does not make sense. I felt like telling her, what? Your life can start now. Look at Abraham. Abraham was 75. God says, get out of thy father's house, out of thy kingdom, unto a land I will show you, and I'll make of thee a great nation. Hi. I said, now that you have trained your children, they are married and they are working and they are different places of the earth, you can start a journey with God. Go out and start winning souls. Before you know, you have new children, spiritual children. Are you with me? Then you begin to raise destinies in God. Then God begins to order their lives. They begin to express the life of God. A dear son of mine was telling me how he read computer science in school. But he was praying one day, praying. Had a vision, saw himself making shoes. God. Today, he exports shoes to different parts of the world. In the past 5 years, oh my God, the life of God inside you. It's a passion in my heart that I cannot wait. I long to see Christians grow from being genuinely saved, growing in God, expressing the life of God, and having joy in eternity. That's what this thing is about. Tell your neighbor once again, we are not here to waste your time. Get serious with God.
You know, I showed you on Wednesday during the midweek service in Abuja that the apostles met every day. What were they doing every day? Every day they were meeting. Somebody said, we want the church to be like the early church. They met every day. And you tell somebody, 2 hours service on Sunday. 2 hours. 2 hours. Just 2 hours. The person say, I have things to do. No, God's not priority to you. Let me tell you, no matter what you are going through, there are either two options. It's either you allow yourself to be brought down by the challenges you are going through, or you hold on to God as your rescue. Yes. If you want to talk about challenge, I know it. I know it firsthand. Firsthand. I know what problem sapa looks like. But I think God helped me understand early that the future is only bright for the man who holds on to God. I may not know the future, but I know the one that holds the future. Let me tell you, God is God-centric. God is God-centered. He has a plan in his mind. He wants people to know him and experience him. Anybody that aligns with this plan will receive divine support. I'm telling you. I remember when, that should be about roughly 16, 15 years ago. There was a church service. I was part of the instrumentalists in church. And rain fell heavily that day. Rain. By the grace of God, I'm not journey just come in this work of God. Rain fell heavily that day. And I had to go to church. So I tried to wear my sandals and it caught in the rain. I went back, picked my slippers, tried to check the church, the slippers caught. Went back. Mind you, there was no transport. I was trekking to church. Went back, found another slippers, picked it, it caught again. I said, you know what? We will trek to church barefooted today. We will become barefoot. I went to church barefoot, only to get to church and discover that the instrumentalist did not come. I was the only keyboardist around. The drummer did not come for service. They all said rain stopped them. And choir, in fact, by the time I got in, the choir was ready to sing, but they were hesitating because there was nobody to play. So I was like, so if I did not come, now so this service would just be like this. When the Lord now began to face me and do strange things, people were saying, those are the things like, we are not surprised. We are not surprised. Tell neighbor, take it serious. I long to see mighty men and women, boys and girls, who are going to see, oh my God, mighty entrepreneurs, engineers, people who will say, the Lord showed me to do this, the Lord led me like this, the Lord directed me like this, the Lord did me like this. I long to see it. I long to see you grow, and you will grow in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So this morning, Father, we thank you. You know, in the month of March, we've been emphasizing being rooted in Christ. And so far, we've treated why Christianity, good ground, part one, good ground, part two, the incorruptible seed. Please, if you have not listened to those messages, go back and listen to them. And last week, we talked about the inheritance, part one. You know, what we're actually doing, you can call it a trajectory in getting rooted in Christ. In fact, it is building up the Christ Life Conference. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So it's a trajectory, a flow of thought on how to be rooted in Christ. You see, when a person is born again, the next most important thing is revelation knowledge of who he is and what he has in Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, there is understanding. There is understanding. In the name of Jesus, there is understanding. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15. Ephesians 1 verse 15, it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Father, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So Paul was praying for the church, that God would give the church wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ by the Spirit. Do you remember last week's Sunday? That God will give the church wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ by the Spirit. Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ by the Spirit. Now, how would this happen? How does God give wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ by the Spirit? Let's look at the verses again, please. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, does this end with a full stop or with a colon? That means the next verse is going to explain how God gives wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, right? So, we have said before that God gives wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ by the Spirit. Of course, it is by the Spirit. But how does He do it? Go to verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. Now, pause. Let me explain. This word, being, is it, this is not English class, but I'm tempted to do something. Is it a present tense or a present continuous tense? Present continuous tense, right? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So, what does this really mean? It means that, how does God really give wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ by the Spirit? It is done when your eyes of understanding is being enlightened. So, when you are being taught about Christ, it is in that same process that you are being taught about Christ that God gives you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Say amen. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying that as I'm teaching you the word of God about Christ, the same time I'm teaching you, that's when you receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ by the Spirit. So, the teaching is an opportunity for the Holy Ghost to do something. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So, when your understanding is being enlightened, it's as though your eyes are being opened. As your understanding about Christ is as though your eyes is being opened. And when that is happening, God is imparting to you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God by the Spirit. Why is this important? It's important because, listen. Real spiritual growth is by the Spirit. It does not happen. It's not just mental. It's by the Spirit. For instance, you've heard me say things like, God said, God told me, God did, God led us. God, listen, no matter what we say, there is a level of revelation your spirit man must get to understand it. Yes. For instance, you tell somebody that Mary was a virgin and she took him. And you're like, so a natural man will be like, how is that possible? Need wisdom and revelation in God. Your spirit man has to be opened. So that's why we pray. As we pray, we are teaching together. So it goes pari passu. As the teaching is going on, there is also prayer for your spirit man to open. You know, sometimes I look at believers and it's obvious. They are having eyes, but they are not seeing. You know, somebody messaged me. He said, Pastor David, I've been having this type of dream repeatedly. I've been having this kind of dream repeatedly. I said, this is what it means. I was surprised that the person could not just get that. That's what it means. Like, you're supposed to know that this is what it means. You will see someone. They will go to fetish places. They will give him fetish things to do. And they'll say, oh, my parents said you should do it. Oh, my parents said. Your spirit man is telling you there is something wrong. But the person cannot pick it. The person will not say, I felt something like. You know what? Many times, revelation and wisdom in God is low. It's low. It's too low. Many times we are teaching the word of God. We are preaching to people. Sometimes they are not getting it because this thing. You see a person who is a Christian. He has been going to church for 20 years. You say, well, you see me, I am an Igala man. He get us with a do our things. He's still carrying that backyard. That backyard mentality. Oh, I'm a blame the man. I'm a blame the man. This is how we are. You're forgetting who you are. Is that who you are? Don't say, if I show you my true character. No, that's not your true character. You are in Christ. Let me tell you, this revelation that you receive by the Holy Spirit when you are being taught about Christ is what causes transformation. It is what causes the real transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed into the same image. The same you that came to church right now, as I'm teaching, is not the same person going out. Because revelation is being imparted. Are you with me? New revelation is coming. You know, Jesus. Have you seen that verse of the Bible that says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper? Isaiah chapter 54 from verse 17. No weapon fashioned against you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That, for him to use that word fashioned or formed, it means that they take measurements. When the devil wants to send attacks to a person, they measure the person. They know the spiritual level. They know your spiritual gauge. They just the same way a tailor will say, this is your trouser length. This is your waist length. In the spirit, they measure you too. But by the time you receive the word of God and you are changed, by the time they send the attack, it's no longer your size. Real change. You know, God. This is what I'm actually going after. I've been a Christian for a long time. I've seen people who are not changing. We got born again those days. We knew people who got born again. They were struggling with smoking addiction. Every time in this our day, they are doing meetings, struggling with addiction. See, when I got born again, those meetings were very little. You know why? People got born again. I don't know if you know this old song, the things I used to do, I do them no more. It's not because of a family though. Some of them, they got born again and the desire for smoking stopped. What happened? The desire for some things just died. You know why? Revelation entered them that changed them. I'm telling you, there is what you will see about Christ and actually about yourself. Because as you see him, you see yourself. I knew people who were struggling with anger. They were struggling with wrong habits. Immediately they came in and began to grow in God. After a while, the person just changed, became so calm. You're like, what happened? The person said, I cannot even explain. I was just growing in God and this thing left me. This thing walked out of me. And so, my job is to present Christ to you. He says, we all with open face, behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are changed into the same image. So as I present the glory of the Lord, which is Christ, as I present it to you, as you look at it, you are changed. That's God's system of transformation. I want to ask you, what have you been looking at? What have you been looking at? What have you been seeing that the Holy Ghost can change you into? There is understanding in this house in the name of Jesus. And so, no other phrase in the New Testament explains our inheritance like those words in Christ. Sometimes it's called in him. The reason it's so is because when you get born again, you don't have any identity of your own. Your identity is lost in his identity. For you to know yourself, you have to know him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 17, it says, he that joined unto the Lord is one spirit. When you get born again, you and the Lord are one. You are one. So, to know yourself, you know him. To know yourself, you know him. Amen. To know yourself, you know him. So, when you study the Bible, you will see this in him, in Christ, in him, in him, in Christ. If those things are clues, wherever you see it, they are clues to know what you have. For instance, I'm sure some of you have seen John chapter 1 from verse 4. It says, in him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That means you have something that the world needs. Hey God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That means when I get into Christ, I have come into the life that is light. These are things you meditate upon. Say after me, in him is life. And I've come into me, therefore I've come into life. Hey. You know, when you study the Bible, you discover that the Bible is so connected. This subject of in him, God had it in his mind from the very beginning. You know? Remember Genesis chapter 12 from verse 3. It says, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. When God was talking to Abraham, God was saying, indeed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Question is, how will God get all the families of the earth into Abraham? Are you following this? You will now also see in Genesis chapter 22, I think from verse 16. Genesis 22 from verse 16. Let's read this one. And God said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying I will multiply thee. Amen. Say amen, no, because you will soon see that it was actually you. It was actually you I was talking to. That in blessing I will bless thee. Amen. And in multiplying I will multiply thee.
Amen.
As the stars of heaven. Hey, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lord, I receive you. Amen.
Amen.
As the sand of the seashore.
Amen.
And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies.
Amen.
And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
Amen.
Now, God told Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Abraham would have been thinking Isaac. But when you come to the New Testament and look at Galatians 3 from verse 16. Oh, I love the Bible. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he seeth not, and not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. Let me read it again. King James will be doing you bum bum bum. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He seeth not, and to seeds as of many. So what he's saying that when God was promising Abraham, God did not say in thy seeds. God said in thy seed. And this thy seed is actually Christ. So Abraham was thinking about Isaac, but God in the spirit was pointing to Christ. So he now goes in verse 29. He says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Are you following this? So when he says, thy seed that shall possess the gate of thy enemies, he was talking to you. He says, if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. That means when he was saying, thy seed shall possess the gate of thy enemies, he was talking to you. Now, what is this thing here? He's giving you all of these things to know what you have. So when you wake up in the morning, you have something to declare. I will possess the gate of my enemies. These are meditations to have. Let me tell you something here. When you do these rituals, I call it the rituals. When you do these rituals, your life is different. Oh, you know that we carry different auras? Of course. We carry different auras. Let me just say, I don't know why things are not just working. That thing you are saying, you are declaring, no. I don't know why things are not working for me. No. When you see things not working for you, you wake up in the morning and say, I possess the gate of my enemies. That's the fight of faith. You stay on it. I possess the gate of my enemies. Wherever I go, I prosper. Because I am the seed of Abraham. I am in Christ. Therefore, I am the seed of Abraham. Are you seeing this? Glory! Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm just confused. I'm just confused about what to do. I don't even know what to do now. No, I'm the seed of Abraham. God guided Abraham on every place. He said, get thee out of this land unto a land I will show you. God is taking me to a land. He's showing me where I need to be. Praise the Lord. So he's telling us all of these things to know. To know what we have. To know who we are. To know how to function. To know what to even pray for. Let me tell you, like I said last week Sunday, if you don't know what you have, it doesn't matter what you have. You must know it. So we're going to look at some of them. And we'll round up for today. I just showed you one. I am in Christ, I am Abraham's seed. So all the blessings that were promised to Abraham are fulfilled in me. In Christ I am. Can you see after me? In Christ I am Abraham's seed. See after me. In Christ I am Abraham's seed. In Christ I am Abraham's seed.
Glory.
First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. First Corinthians 1 verse 30. Praise the Lord. Dear neighbor, don't be bored. Don't be tired.
You are Abraham's seed. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. He says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Are you seeing that again? In Christ Jesus. Now what does this mean? It means that you are of God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us wisdom. So he's saying, I am of God in Christ Jesus. So because I am in Christ, I now belong to God's tribe. God's tribe. I belong to God's nativity. Pastor David, where are you from? I am from God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What does this mean? He says, so you are of God in Christ, and God has made Christ your wisdom. God has made Christ your righteousness. God has made Christ your sanctification. God has made Christ your redemption. Say amen. Yeah. Actually, this word redemption even means redance. That's the right word. Redance. It means your escape. That means when they are kidnapping people, Christ is your redance. When they are coming to rob a place, no matter what happens to every other person, I am different. You know what we are doing as I'm getting you to talk? That's one of the keys to enforce the word of God, meditation. I will talk about this thing again in Christ Life Conference. Meditation. Let me tell you something. Hey, God. Meditation. Meditation is so powerful. You know, a man of God was, there's something I said I wanted to tell you. A man of God was trying to pray for a lady. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about something so much you began to feel it? You thought about maybe a car will just come and hit you. You thought about it so deep. And it was as though someone actually came and hit you. You began to feel it in your body. People don't know how powerful meditation is. So he was about to pray for this lady. She was looking very sick. And then he had a trance. In the spirit, she was free. He said, I want to pray for this lady that's looking. He said, she's free. He said, the problem is that she does not know. And so Jesus was taking the man of God and showing him many sick people. He said, see what the devil does. When he knows, you know, when in the spirit realm, there are different classes. So two people can be sick, but in the spirit realm, they are not the same. There can be someone who is healed, but Satan has made him believe he's sick. Satan has made him believe that he's under. Then there's somebody who is actually sick. Are you following me? And so, you know what Jesus told him? He said, as long as she's like this, even if you pray for her and she gets healed, she will fall sick again. Remember what I showed you that when we were reading about faith. He said, we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. That means, in the spirit realm, your sight determines your future. When God wants to help Abraham, he says, from where thou art, look, what do you see? All that you have seen, I will give it unto you. From where you are standing, look. If you decide to make your present circumstance your reality, that is what will manifest in your future. Praise the Lord. So you know what God is doing when he's giving you all of these realities? When we talk about in Christ realities, he's giving you what to work with. He's giving you the substance to create your world. He's giving you substance to recreate your reality. He's giving you substance to recreate your personality, your mind, your consciousness. I just pray there's nobody here who is the one I'm saying and say, okay, we are read. We are read. Right on, sir. Do quick, let us close. I just pray. Because I'm trying to help you. Oh, I'm trying to help you. It's a mindset to have. Hey, God. Say after me, I am of God in Christ Jesus. So that's the first one. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. Don't be tired. It's Bible study, I know. I open in many scriptures, I know. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. Aye, Jesus. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. Now, he which established
Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and had anointed us is God. So if we start at verse 21, it means that your establishment is in Christ. Then if you go to verse 20, it says all the promises of God in him are yea. That means, you know when it says all the promises of God in him are yes and amen, it means in Christ all these promises have been done. So when you come into Christ, your healing is not in the future, your healing is now. Because in Christ, all the promises of God are yes and amen. When you come into Christ, your prosperity is not in the future, your prosperity is now. Are you following me? Your change is not going to come, your change has come. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen. All the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. Are you seeing this? So in him, all God's promises are fulfilled. Hallelujah. So tell me, I am in Christ. Let me explain deeper. Because somebody is wondering, how am I in Christ? How? Let me explain. Let's start from this. So man was dead in sins, right? Man from Adam was dead in sins. All of us were condemned to die in sins. And God was looking for a way to save us. So what did God do? God became a man. Are you with me? God became a man, took on human flesh, and walked on the earth, lived a perfect life. But at what point will he be connected to us in such a way that he can pay for our sins? Pay attention. Just before Jesus went to the cross, there was something he did, which we call the new covenant or the blood covenant. He says, this is my blood. He took drink and took bread. This is my blood broken for you and all of that. And he says, eat and drink. What he did that time is the same thing that you see in those Nigerian movies that they do, where a boy and girl will take their blood and drink and all of that. And do you know what blood covenant is? The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Blood covenant means I have become you, you have become me. So when Christ did that with the apostles, it meant I have become one with them. I have become one with men. So the apostles represented all of mankind. I have become one with men and they have become one with me. From now henceforth, whatever I become is now their lot. So by becoming one with us, he became sin. But by we becoming one with him, when he died and rose again, we became righteousness. So he died as a sinner man and rose up a new creature. That is why if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Do you understand that? So right now, your reality is Christ's realities. The only way to enforce it is to know it and hold on to it. When you know it and hold on to it and declare it and pray on it and embrace it, it becomes your reality. Satan is my inheritance. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, talking about God, it says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Are you seeing this? Satan, I have been delivered. This is the word for deliverance here. I have been delivered from the power of darkness and I have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Let me tell you something. Satan will try his best to distract you from this. No wonder Paul said, pray, pray. I'm telling you. Let me tell you, the devil prefers you run around every morning and say, break, you chain break, you chain break. I'm telling you. He prefers you doing that than you knowing this. Some things will happen to you and you wake up and say, am I cursed? Has that happened before? You must have said, am I cursed? No, that is the time to enforce that you are not cursed. You have been delivered. He will try to arrange events. It's called fear. False evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. He will try to arrange those events to convince you. It says, but they that know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set make you free, actually. You know, I've shared the difference between set free and made free. John 8:32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is the difference between set free and made free? The difference between set free and made free, when a criminal has been arrested or something, or somebody was accused of a certain crime or all of that, and arrested, the day the judge says you are free, that's the day he has been set free. But I can tell you, even though the judge says you are free, if he does not know, he can be inside. He can be in prison. Even though the judge has said you have been set free.
But until he knows it, he will never be made free. The day he knows what has been done for him and is able to apply, that's the day he will be made free. So Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
That's what I'm telling you. You have been delivered from the power of darkness, and you have been transferred to the kingdom of his dear son. Then he goes to the next one. In whom we have redemption through his blood. So now, are you seeing that in him again? In whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood. I have redemption through his blood. No demon of darkness can hold me down, because the blood of Christ has paid for me. Are you with me? The blood of Christ has paid for me. I will not pay again. I cannot pay twice what has been paid before. Are you with me? I am in him. In whom I have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord. You know the popular one. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. Because I believe in Jesus, I am in Christ. All things are passed away. All struggles are passed away. All habits are passed away. All limitations are passed away. Glory. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold. That word behold is in the Greek, is called kaza. See. See that all things are becoming new. You must see that all things are becoming new for it to become new. Then it says in verse 18, and all things are of God. And all things which, so the all things that have become new are of God. He's not saying new challenges have come. He's not saying all things have become new and new problems have come. No. All things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He's telling you all of these things so that you know what you allow and disallow in your life. Let me give you one more. And I'll share with you a story. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14, he says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. So in Christ I have consistent triumph. It doesn't matter what January to March in 2024 has looked like. I stand on the word of God. I have consistent triumph. This is a different way of prayer. Oh. Have you ever seen that verse of the Bible that says, plead therefore your case that thou mayest be justified? So what you do in prayer is, you come as a lawyer. You bring all the evidence about you. So you take it to the courts of heaven and say, I am in Christ. I am a new creature. Therefore, sickness you cannot continue. I am in Christ. I am a new creature. Therefore, addiction cannot continue. I am in Christ. Demons check out. It's a new way of prayer. You bring the evidence about who you are. Who are you? You know, when the sons of Sceva wanted to cast out that demon, they said, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. They did not say, what family are you coming from? They said, who are you? Who are you? You say, I am in Christ. That means, you're as important as prayer is, it is not about who you are before you pray. So when you come to prayer, you know in prayer we come and say, our Father who art in heaven. So, it's not about who is, it's not about what is being said, it's who is praying. We are praying to our Father. We are in him. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. Anything that does not represent Christ's reality ought not to be in my life. Imagine Christ was upon the earth. How would he have lived? That's your life. He was stranded. What did he do? He said, okay, you know what? Go and fish. Open the first fish that comes out. You will see a coin inside. I pray for you as you step into this week. As you step into this week, you will begin to see favor. Yeah. In unexpected places, you will see favor. Yeah. How will a coin be in the mouth of a fish? That's what happens when Christ is on the scene. Yeah. In the same way, because you are in Christ, unexpected miracles show up for you. Yeah. That's the way to reason. Who will expect? Coin, gold in the mouth of a fish. No, Jesus is here now. That's why. It's not strange. That means the miraculous is not strange with me. The miraculous is not strange to me. I expect the supernatural every day of my life. You think you will do this in the morning and walk out and it will be the same? No. You have sent waves into the spirit realm.
You have sent angels. You have given them things to work with. You have given them assignments to work with. Don't waste your days. Know who you are and stand on it. It is your inheritance. Don't come to church and think we are playing here. No. Let me tell you. You know, somebody was asking me, say, Pastor David, you have been a full-time pastor for about more than 5 years. I said, yes. What I'm preaching to you is what I've lived on. Everything in this ministry, Newbury Port Harcourt, Newbury Lagos, is the word of God we've been holding on to. The word of God has bettered it. That's why I know. In a short while, Newbury is going to be at the forefront of the gospel globally. I know it. I know it. Because the word of Christ cannot be stopped. Are you with me? Don't think, no. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. When it is sown, like the least of all seeds. But when it grows, it becomes so big. So now we are sowing this seed into your spirit, man. You may be listening to us and saying, what are they saying? What are they saying? It's like a mustard seed. Don't play with it. Let it enter. Tell anybody, let it enter.
Let it enter.
No, it's when they see G-Wagon, they will take it serious. When they see land, they don't know, is that invisible seed, the incorruptible seed of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It is that seed that changes a man's life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And let me tell you, the word of God is more important than even material things. Those are the least, those are the base of the list of things that it can do for us. It's to change cities and nations. It's to change families.
Yes,
don't let your family pattern hold you down. You are different.
Different.
So tell me, in Him I live.
In Him I move.
In Him I have my being. Glory.
Glory.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Can you imagine Jesus on the earth? What kind of life would he have been living? Imagine Jesus as a businessman. What kind of life would he have been living? Imagine him as a doctor. What kind of life would he have been living? Oh, you are seeking for contracts. What kind of life would he have been living? Think about what I'm telling you. Your life can change from now.
I heard about an eagle. An eagle was born among chickens. And every day, the eagle will grow up and eat like the chickens. When the chickens are going to find food, the eagle will follow them to find food. And the eagle will walk around like the chicken. When the chicken crows, it will crow like them too. Then one day, this chicken had grown. This eagle had grown with the chickens. He had been there with them. Then one day, an eagle came down. And he looked at the eagle and said, wait, we look alike. The eagle looked at his skin and looked at this mother eagle there and said, we have the same skin. We have the same feet. We have the same claws. Then it was then he dawned on him that he's actually different from the chickens. And then he saw the eagle began to fly. Then he discovered that while the other chickens were crowing and this eagle was flying, he discovered he had wings too. Let me try if I can fly. And in seeing the eagle fly, he began to flap his own wings. And then it flew and never returned. Maybe you have been here. You have not been looking at the mother eagle. You have not been looking at the Christ. That's why you think you are like every other person. You are different. You pray right now. I just want you to pray. I want you to pray that, Lord, my eyes are open. I receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ.